welcome to another episode of A Drummer's Guide to, the podcast all about the things that it takes to become a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument. My name is Emily Dolan-Davies, and today I want to talk about something that may seem a little bit adjacent to being a professional musician, but actually it's a really good way to look at yourself and your goals and where you want to be, and that is using this concept of gamification to gamify your life. So the reason that I wanted to talk about this was because I've recently read this amazing book. It's called Gamification, the Octalysis Framework, I think. Anyway, it's by a guy called Yukai Chow, and it's basically this concept of explaining why games are so addictive, why people always come back to them, and then how you can apply that in your own life, those concepts in your own life, to make you sort of do stuff, basically. And for anyone that doesn't know, when I was younger, I loved video games so much. I just, if I had the time now, I would as well, but I know that I have quite an addictive personality, in case you hadn't noticed. So I know that if I got back into gaming right now, everything would suffer. Everything would. I do occasionally sort of play, but very, very occasionally. I just know what my brain is like. Also, the fact that because I've sort of taken these principles and put them into my own life, I think I feed that need that I got from games. So anyway, I'll give you a bit of backstory. So growing up, this is totally going to tell you how old I am and the sort of era that I grew up in. So I was big into games like, for instance, Tekken. That was the very first game I ever played on, like, a PlayStation. In fairness, I did have Game Boy before that, but anyway. The big time was like Tekken, Ridge Racer. I was into like Rayman, Abe's Oddworld. Now these are all great and I enjoyed these, but there were also this selection of games that I was obsessed with. So Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, so good. Broken Sword, Shadow of the Templars, the original is the best. I don't care what anyone says. I did enjoy the other ones, but the first one, mwah. Beautiful. Sam and Max, that was a little bit before, and SimCity 2000, and I played a bit of 3000 as well, and I ended up subsequently playing the original as well. But yeah, SimCity 2000, again, that was a little bit before the PlayStation days. But these were games that I was obsessed with, and as I was listening to this audiobook, I was thinking about those games, and you know, I just consistently come back to them, and I just loved them. I loved the characters in them, I loved the story, but I decided to start actually analysing what it was about them that I really enjoyed, because for, like, people that play games play them for very different reasons, and again, this is sort of in the context of this book by Yukai Chow, so if you're into this idea, please go read it, it's fascinating, so fascinating. So for some people, you know, they love playing games because they love things like earning badges. These days, obviously, I say these days, not these days, probably for the last 15 years, maybe longer, I don't know, the social aspect of it, you know, chatting away whilst you're playing Call of Duty or World of Warcraft, or I assume Minecraft is the same, I don't know. Like I say, out of the loop now, totally out. I'm just a nostalgia girl. I just love the games back when I was young. So yeah, there's some people love it because they get to socialize, which is great. Other people love the idea of sort of leaderboards and being the best and having the most points and all that sort of stuff. Now these are all great, and that's fine. That's fine for you if that's what you love. But for me, the thing that really just drove me to carry on playing these games was this idea of building up these characters and building up the scenarios and just, you know, creating a powerful, now I'm talking mainly the Final Fantasy games, I suppose to a degree Zelda would have been one as well, SimCity as well. The idea of building something, the idea of developing something or someone, a character, and just becoming so strong and then going out on these quests. And these are the things that absolutely just had me coming back. In terms of things like Broken Sword and Sam and Max, puzzle solving, I love that. All those point and click games, I just, yeah, they just get me. I love solving a puzzle, and I just recognise that these things could be put into my everyday life. Now, I realized this long before I read this book, but as I read this book, or listened to this book, I should say, I realized I've been doing this, and it occurred to me that there was definitely a link of this kind of obsessive, yes, obsessive way of like building my own character in my own life, if that makes sense. So I think that it's really useful to kind of reflect on the things that maybe drove you as a kid. If you're a gamer too, it's just fascinating to think about what drives you, what drove you to carry on playing. So anyway, with this in mind, I thought, right, let me look at the things that I'm doing right now that are making me be able to do this. I wanted to share with you what I have been doing already, and also how I actively gamify my life, basically, to make myself do things so that it's very satisfying to me and it does reflect the kind of way that people do play games. So, like I say, the main thing for me, the main driver, every time, even thinking about it now, is just like progress. It's progress, it's building a character, it's getting better in different aspects of my life. So what I do to kind of actively do that, first of all, setting a goal. Now, I see that as setting a quest. Like, I have a goal, I have a quest I need to go on, and I need to work it out. That's the puzzle side of it. Like, a lot of times, there's, in fact, 99.9% of the time, there's not a sort of, if you do X, Y, and Z, then you will get the answer that you want. You will get the quest that you want. You know, life is not been programmed by some amazing bunch of programmers and storytellers and all of that. It's your life. So anyway, so it's setting a goal, setting a quest, and then knowing that the puzzle aspect, that's just going to be day to day. That's fine. Like, that works for me. I thrive on that. I feel like, a lot of the time, I always joke that I feel like a bit of a Sherlock Holmes type when I'm trying to work out how to do something, and whether that's a physical skill or whether that's like something a little more elusive, I really thrive on that kind of exploring and researching and working it out. And a lot of times it doesn't work and I'm like, oh, well, better try something else. But it's kind of a really interesting way to do it for me. So there's that. So have my quest, but then it's about every day building up my character to go out into the world and be able to actually do that quest, if that makes sense, and to achieve that. So what I do is, first of all, let's talk about very specific goals. The first thing that I do, and I've been doing this for a few years now, and it really, really works for me. I hope it does for you as well. When I decide, when I have my sights set on a very specific goal, what I will do is I will create some piece of something, I'll go into what I mean in a sec, that I can refer back to when I'm on my quest. Once I'm out the gate, on my quest, walking around, you know, visiting the little towns and talking to the people and playing card games. You'll only get that if you've played Final Fantasy VIII. I will create something to kind of refer back to. So what I mean is, let's say if you're a musician, it would be, so I'm going to give you just very specific examples of what I've done in the past. So for instance, with The Voice Kids, it was having a very specific set of songs with charts. So sorry, if you're new and you don't know what I'm talking about. So a big part of The Voice Kids gig is reading. And when I started that gig, my reading was not up to scratch. It was not where I wanted it to be, but I had a couple of months to basically work on my reading. And I knew that, and I thought, right, I need something to refer back to just know how far I've come. Because in times when you're like, oh gosh, I'm not seeing any progress, you can refer back and go, actually, I am progressing. So let's carry on, because it can only get better. So yeah, what I did was I recorded myself playing a very specific set of songs with charts the very first day that I sat down and decided that I'm on this quest now, and I recorded it. Now, this was awful. It was terrible. It was so bad, so demoralizing. But that wasn't the point of it. The point of it was so that I could refer back. And I think it was every 2 weeks, what I would do, so I'd do 2 weeks of like working towards this goal, looking at different charts, playing different styles of music, you know, just all sorts of different styles of charts and all sorts of different material. And then every 2 weeks, I would re-record the very first thing that I recorded so that I could then compare and see how far I'd come. This worked wonders for me because when you're in the weeds, it's very hard to see the progress that you're making. It is literally, you can't see the wood from the trees. You just get, you know, consumed by it. If your brain is going 10 to the dozen telling you, you know, this isn't working, you're not getting any better, blah, 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 blah. Our brains are a nightmare. I knew that there was solid, hard evidence. No, look at this and look at you now. You are making progress. Keep going. People always say, trust the process. Just keep going and it's all going to be fine. So anyway, that kind of worked for me for the Voice Kids. Well, obviously it worked because I'm still on the gig and they haven't chucked me off and I can read and that's awesome. And I'm happy with that. So that was one of them. Another one was with the studio, with my remote recording business. When I started, I had no idea what I was doing, like really no idea. And again, that was the Sherlock side of me that was like, right, I don't know what I'm doing, but I can work it out because that's just my nature. It's like, right, I'll find a way. I will find a way because I want to do this so badly. So I knew that that was fine. And again, it's that point and click. It's that puzzle solving. It's all of that. That's what I thrive on. So that kind of worked. And what I did was I have always kept this folder of the very first session that I did with the very first multi-tracks that I recorded. They're not great. They're fine. They're not great. There's some, I don't know what I was thinking in some of the sort of like multi-tracks I was recording, but it is what it is and they are what they are. But it's really great to just occasionally reflect back, and it's been 7 years now, and those 7 years have flown by, if I'm honest. But it can be very easy to forget the progress that you've made. So very occasionally I will just go back to those original multi-tracks and go, do you know what? I'm doing all right. Like when I'm having moments of like, oh, I just feel, you know, maybe you're feeling down on yourself or whatever else, I can just go back and I can go, no, do you know what? This is working for me. So there are two like solid examples that I've used. And as I say, it's kind of retrospectively looking back at what I've been up to that it turns out I've been gamifying my life for a while now. and then let's say that, for instance, if you're a musician with a specific goal, same sort of thing. I think recording yourself doing whatever it is, like whatever the goal is. So say you're wanting to work on double kick stuff. Let's take that for an example. Record yourself trying to do what the ultimate goal would be, you know, playing a particular song or a particular pattern or, you know, whatever it is, whatever it needs to be, record yourself. I will say you don't have to listen back at this point. You can, but it might be a little bit like, oh God. Don't worry too much about that now. And then have in place a plan to just gradually get a little bit better every day. Just a little bit better every day. And it doesn't need to be great leaps. And they won't be great leaps. There'll be tiny, tiny incremental improvements. And obviously the way that you sort of structure your practice towards those goals is up to you. And it's very personal. And I've sort of spoken about that before in other podcast episodes. So you can go and listen to that if you want. I can't even remember what it's called. Probably goals, I'd imagine, something like that. Anyway, I'm sure I'll do another episode on it at some point. So that could be good if you're working on a specific sort of musical goal. If, say, you're a creative that is doing, I don't know, filmmaking. I don't know why I'm going random. All right, filmmaking, why not? Create a short film. Super short film, and just it's going to take time, but just do it so that you have something to reference back in 10 years time when you look back and go, that was my first short film. You know, look how far I've come, you know, whatever that is. It could be a stop animation film, for instance. Now we are going into my background. Yeah, I used to make stop animation films with my sister when we were kids. It was the best. I think we still have a couple of Hannahs actually somewhere. But anyway, if you're an artist, again, same sort of thing, you know, just start drawing, for instance, and just keep referring back to that initial drawing. The great thing with drawing especially is that, say you keep a sketchbook, you can sort of draw every day and see, physically see the progress. Although it's the same if you're in music or whatever, like, you can record yourself every day and see that gradual process, but always come back to that first one. Always come back, because then you'll truly see the progress that you've made. So I find that that's really, really useful when it's very specific goals. But then there's also goals that are a little more general, I suppose. So for instance, for me, things like working out, meditating, keeping on top of emails. I'm still working on that, and I apologize if you're listening to this right now and you're are expecting a reply from me. I am working through it. My gosh, it takes me a long time because I love talking to people. it's a blessing and a curse. I love it. Anyway, these are all things, and for instance, my morning free playing that I do, although sometimes it's afternoon free playing at the moment. But anyway, so these things don't have endpoints. They don't have an ultimate goal. They're just kind of maintenance goals, if that makes sense. So when it comes to that, what I do is on my fridge right now, I have this calendar, and every day that I do one of the things that I want to do to kind of just maintain the life that I'm enjoying, because I'm healthy and I eat well, and you know, all the little things that I do to give myself a nice life, I have these little dot stickers, and I put one of these dot stickers on the calendar for the day that I do them. So yeah, say I work out, one little green sticker there, love it. If I meditate, there's a little white sticker there, awesome. If I do emails, little orange sticker there, love it. And just seeing a visual representation of the things that I've been doing day to day. If you've been following me for any amount of time, I love food. I spend a lot of time in my kitchen. I cook a lot. I love it. It's one of my favorite things in life. So I see this calendar a lot, and I just look at it and I go, yeah, do you know what? I'm making progress. Because sometimes it is hard to see the progress when it comes to, as I say, non-goal orientated actions, if that makes sense. So that kind of makes sense. Also, if there are specific goals, I will also add that to my calendar just so that I can see. Now, I'm not saying that every day is perfect. You know, there's a list of things that I like to get done every day. There's kind of like, I want to say 5 non-negotiables every day that I try to get done. And then anything on top of that is, I would say, a bonus, but it's not. I want to get more done because I have a long list of things to do, as you can imagine. For instance, today I'm recording this episode, and then after this I'm going to be recording another pack for Drum Stem Club, which is my free drum multi-track club. If you want to join that, go to drumstemclub.com. Anyway, that's aside the point. So I do have a lot of things that I like to get done, but what I will also say is I am human. Some days I wake up and I'm like, you know what? No, today is not the day. I need to rest. I'm exhausted. That can be physically, that can be mentally, that can be emotionally. That's for a variety of reasons, not least of which is that I am just another human, and we all have days like that. We all have, you know, some days I feel full of energy and I'm like, wow, I can get loads done today, let's do that. Although I do often burn myself out by the end of a day like that, which is not great and I would not recommend it, but that's how I'm built. It's fine. Anyway, some days I don't feel like it, and some days I'm like, nah, it's not the one. But then I go into this mode of, right, that's fine, you take the day. However, there's this concept of a non-zero day, which essentially means just doing something, even if it's for like 5 minutes for the day. And that could be, you know, going for a walk around the block. I would count that as a workout when I'm feeling so rubbish and so like lacking in energy or motivation or whatever it is. If I just do something, I go, do you know what? I didn't want to do that. And I'm proud of myself. And this is something else that I've been doing recently, which has really, really helped me. Because for anyone that has listened to me for any amount of time, I can be quite hard on myself. A lot, actually. I've gone a little better recently. And again, it's the reason that I am the way that I am. So I have acceptance with that. But more recently, I've tried to actively kind of go, yeah, do you know what? I'm proud of myself for doing that. And that can be when I feel rubbish and it's like a 5 minute walk around the block. And I'm like, I feel proud of myself because I did something. And that character has built just a little bit more, and that's okay, because I don't believe that, you know, our abilities or whatever we sort of put our time into, I don't believe that our skill set stays the same. I believe that if you're not building it, if only ever so slightly, you're losing it. I'm not sure if scientifically that's correct, and I'm sure that it comes with a lot of other problems thinking that way, but for me, it kind of motivates me to keep going, because it's like, I don't want to lose these skills because they've got me where I am right now, and I need to just progress even just a little bit. Anyway, if I do, I pat myself on the back. I go, do you know what? Yes, well done for doing that, even though you didn't want to do it. Equally, if I look at my calendar and I look at the day today and there's like 7 stickers on there for stuff that I've done, I'm like, you know what? Today was a great day. I am proud of myself. Yes, this is awesome. Then I proceed to collapse in a heap, and then I often will have to take the next day off or do a half day or whatever because I'm so exhausted. But again, don't worry too much about that. You just got to learn yourself and what is acceptable for you. And if you need to... That's an alarm for me to take a break, which means that I should be wrapping up this episode fairly soon. I think knowing yourself as well in terms of what you're capable of and what is acceptable to you energy-wise and time-wise and the time that you actually have available to you, I think is really, really important. But again, it's kind of this reflection on what works for you. So I would really highly, highly recommend that you have a look at what, say you are a gamer. I'm kind of just assuming that you played games when you were younger. So look at those games, look at the ones that you were really into and why you were into them, and then just reverse engineer it and kind of apply it to your life right now. And maybe the things that I've spoken about resonate with you too. Maybe you love an RPG. I love an RPG. Although I will say, gosh, when I try and play these new ones, it's like, I think Final Fantasy, I want to say 16 came out recently. I haven't played it, but I think I played 14 for like a demo. It's so complicated now. And all the things that I loved about it, it kind of is missing. And it's a shame. So I'm kind of just doing the nostalgic playing at the moment. But anyway, I think just kind of reflecting on what drove you, what you loved about the games that you were playing, and then try and, you know, put that into your daily life. If you enjoyed beating up someone though, maybe not that. If you're obsessed with Tekken, maybe not that. The thing that I was obsessed with Tekken was finishing the character story, so you got to see the little cinematic bit at the end. Oh my god, that was my favourite thing! It was so good! Again, it was about developing the character and progressing, and then you got to see them going back home and being a winner. Woo! So, again, really, really interesting. The final thing that I'll say is, you know, a very basic thing that I also do whenever I have these days where I either get loads done or I do one thing, but it's because I'm exhausted. I do try and reward myself with stuff, and I have a myriad of rewards that I give to myself. But the most prominent one, obviously, and I've kind of alluded to it already, is food. It's the best. So I'm just going to tell you my current reward foods for me. So jollof rice. I made this big batch the other day. Oh my gosh, it's delicious. So there's that. Also jerk chicken, anything with plantain, basically. I'm just like, yes, this is my reward. And also the ultimate reward, only because it's pretty unhealthy. I'm almost certain because I make them. Cornish pasties. Oh, they're so good! Homemade Cornish pasties. That is my ultimate reward at the moment. It has to be a weekend for me to have the Cornish pasty. As like, I have to have had a good week. And by good week, I mean a non-zero week. So even if I've done only one thing on one of those days, it's like, yes, I am proud of myself. Crack open the pasties, turn on the oven, we're doing this. That's kind of how I'm running my life right now. And like I say, I've been doing this for a long time. I just didn't realize it. And I do it with work. I do it with exercise. I do it with meditation. I do it with food. It's yeah, it really, really works for me. So I hope that this has resonated with you in some sort of way. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please do like, subscribe, share with anyone else that you think that it will also sort of connect with. And yeah, if you really want to go the extra mile, then I now have a Patreon that you can help support this podcast. You can also have early access to new episodes. You can also give me ideas for any subjects you'd like me to cover. If you go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums, that's patreon.com/EmilyDrums. Anyway, I hope that you're keeping well, and I hope that you're having a lovely day wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and I will be back next week with another subject, so I will see you then. All right, lots of love. Bye.